Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Over the Cap podcast. It's August 20th, 2020. This is Jason Fitzgerald. You can find me on Twitter at Jason_OTC. And in today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if you want to get into the Steelers salary cap for 2021 and just some different things about what the Steelers do with some of their contracts, this is a good one to listen to. If you're looking for the more general stuff that we do on the OTC podcast, you can check in probably Saturday morning or Sunday morning. We'll have another podcast up where we'll look at a couple of the stories from this week. Hasn't been too much, but you know, a little bit about Dalvin Cook and a couple other things. Gerald McCoy got released in Dallas. And so we'll go over those in the weekend podcast. But today we're going to look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last week we did the New Orleans Saints, who probably have the worst salary cap situation in the NFL. And I think you can make a pretty good argument that the Steelers are either number two or number three. I think they're in a worse position than the Philadelphia Eagles. The question is, are they in a worse position than the Atlanta Falcons? There's a couple different ways to look at that. The Falcons project to have a lot less cap space next year. If the cap drops all the way down to the $175 million floor that it could possibly go to, the Falcons look to be about $43, $44, $45 million over the cap. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be closer to $22, $23, $24 million over the cap. The big difference, though, is Pittsburgh is loaded with free agents next year. Pittsburgh is loaded with free agents in 2022. There are not a lot of avenues for them to really create cap room beyond doing extensions or going crazy with things like voidable contract years, which really hasn't been kind of their MO at all. But it's a path that they're going to have to consider. And, you know, it's one of those things where usually I'm pretty anti the void year concept. For next year, I think you give teams a pass for doing stuff like that. And I think in the Steelers' case, they may have to go down that route, depending on what they decide to do with this roster. And I think this season, you know, we talked about it with the Saints, how this is a really important season for New Orleans. And I think you could probably make a strong case that this is as equally an important year for Pittsburgh. Last year was probably the hardest year that Pittsburgh has had to deal with in many, many, many years, from the crazy offseason with their wide receiver, Antonio Brown, which was just craziness. You had the whole Le'Veon Bell free agency nonsense that really dragged on for an entire year. And then Roethlisberger goes down right away last season. And from the perspective of how they played, all things considered, the Steelers played terrific defensively. You know, I think that people didn't realize it as much because the offense kind of struggled a bit, you know, with Mason Rudolph in there primarily as the quarterback. He wasn't very good. They very easily could have made the playoffs. I know it was a weak AFC conference, but it was a team that had a defense where if they had made it, they might have been able to surprise a team somewhere in the playoffs, despite the fact that they would have finished with an 8-win or a 9-win record. You know, the Steelers are probably, you would look at them as a team that's a bit on the downslope here. They've missed the playoffs the last 2 years in a row, haven't hit double-digit wins since 2017. Certainly the wheels haven't fallen off by any stretch of the imagination. Like I said, you know, getting to 8 wins last year without Roethlisberger it probably is one of the best jobs Tomlin has done as a head coach. But they're at a point in time, I think, right now where they either have to get the ship to, you know, be a 10, 11, 12 win team again and be in the playoffs, or they're probably going to have to enter a rebuilding phase and kind of tear this stuff down. And it's really going to start with, what do they do with, you've got two players that I think are the two that you really have to look at, and two different ways to do it. One is the strategy of it. You know, what we talked about the other week, where we're going to get to the first $30 million a year defensive player pretty soon, and it may be a player in Pittsburgh. Can you afford to have a $30 million quarterback playing at the same time as a $30 million pass rusher? Normally, you would almost always say, you're always going to go with the quarterback. Well, your quarterback's almost 40 years old. So do you want to go down that path, or do you not want to go down that path? How long can Roethlisberger be effective for? You know, are you going to be worried that he's going to break down? He's a real interesting player, I think, to look at as you get into the kind of end game of his career. His cap hit next year is absolutely unmanageable. So if you look at the Steelers, if you want to go along and just check out their website, salary cap page, you know, you go to overthecap.com/salary cap. Yeah, you can just find it on there. You'll find the Steelers on there, and you can take a tab over to 2021, and you can look at Roethlisberger in there. Roethlisberger's salary cap number next year is $41.25 million, and he's in the final year of a contract. I don't think you can play next year with him at $41.25. I guess there's a possibility that they could do that, but that probably doesn't make much sense. So you have to kind of determine what are your options here. So one of your options is to let Ben play the contract out, and you're going to go to that void year concept, right? So what we're going to do, they have to make a decision, you know, pretty early on because they're in trouble with their salary cap. He has a $15 million roster bonus that's due early in the offseason. So if you convert all of that to a signing bonus and you add 4 void years on that deal, you can bring his cap number down by about $14.34 million. The lowest they can get it is $26.9 million next year, $26.91, I think. I think the minimum salary next year is $1.075 million. But that's because they've had to go to the well so often on Ben. He already has $22.25 million in sunk costs. So there's nowhere else to put it. So that's one avenue that you can go to. Now, what's tricky if you go down that route, you're probably going to have to give Roethlisberger at that point. I don't think he has one right now. But if he doesn't, you're going to have to give him some type of no tag provision that's in there. One of the things that the $41.25 million cap hit does, it puts his number to franchise tag, if they wanted to keep him in 2022, 20% raise over that number. So $49.5 million would be the number. If they go down this whole renegotiation path and they bring that cap number down to 26.9, the 26.9 should become the new base for his franchise tag calculation. So at that point, it brings it from 26.9 to 32.3 would be the next one. So that's a massive difference. Gives Pittsburgh a lot more options for what they want to do. So I think Ben would also have to protect himself either with a silly option bonus the following year that would be equal to basically the franchise tag value, something like a $50 million option bonus. It would basically be a fake extension. You would just be putting something there as a protection mechanism for the player, so he's willing to do this conversion voidable year concept, whatever else. So that's option one that you can do with him. Option two is you can extend him. And the question then is, how do you extend him? So really, option two is more like options two and option three. And I think these are pretty tricky conversations to have. Ben Roethlisberger at his age, we have a lot of comparable players that we can look at. All right. What happened to Philip Rivers last year in Los Angeles? They decided it was his final year. Eli Manning physically fell apart. You don't want to be like the New York Giants, just having this guy sitting there on your roster for 2 years, clogging up a bunch of cap room when you could have done something better earlier on. So they have to think about that as well. We've seen Tom Brady go into free agency, 25. We've seen Drew Brees basically just go 25, 25. So we've seen Philip Rivers this year go 25. So your market rate on a quarterback Ben's age is $25 million. So if he's willing to take an extension for $25 million, where you're going to throw 2 or 3 years on there, whatever you want to do, you can do that. And you can still come up with a cap number pretty similar to what I have here that saves you that $14 million. Maybe you'll save a little less. Maybe you'll save $12 million. But there's a couple of different ways that you can do that deal, to kind of make it work out, I think, for everybody. But here's the question. If you're Ben Roethlisberger, do you take it? Even though that number might not be there. If you notice something I said on Twitter about Dalvin Cook and his contract breaking off with Minnesota. You know, one of the problems is that sometimes I think you can get insulted by offers from your own team. Le'Veon Bell was insulted by offers the Pittsburgh Steelers gave him. And those offers were better than anything he was going to get on the market. And he should have known then that those were better than any offers he was going to get and did receive on the market when he became a free agent. Ben's would be a very similar situation. If you go back historically, the Pittsburgh Steelers made Roethlisberger pretty close to the highest paid player in the NFL when they did his first extension, when he was much younger. When they did his second extension, I think he was around 21 or 22 million. Again, he was pretty close to those high watermarks that were in there. Let me pull that one up. That was the 2015 deal. So in 2015, he was at 21.85. That was done that March. When did Luck sign? Luck is the one who jumped the market. Let me just make sure I have some kind of dates right on here. Yeah, Luck was 2016. When was Carr? Carr was after Luck, I think. Yeah, so he was, you know, right up there near the top. When you went this time around, what did they do? They made him, it was either the highest paid or the second highest paid player in the NFL by annual value. They jumped his contract up to $34 million on the two-year extension. That was signed in April of 2019. Russell Wilson became the next standard bearer. I think his was in June of that same year, but let me check. No, Russell Wilson was in April. Okay. So basically, you know, right around the highest paid player in the NFL. So now you're basically telling him, okay, we're not going to do that this time. You know, this time around, we're going to bring you down to the number we have to do. And that number is $25 million. That can be insulting to someone, especially if at that same time, you've got TJ Watt on an extension that's worth $30 million a year or $29 million a year. Those weren't hurdles that you had to climb really with any of those other teams. You know, the only thing with the Colts was that one-year deal for Brissett, and you can spin that a completely different way to make that look like a lower-cost contract. So it's a really unique situation there. So do you go to 25 or do you go to $35 million? You know, that's another option that would be there. And again, you can keep those cap numbers for next year somewhat lower. Maybe we go from saving 14 to saving 12, and then on the higher price one, we're probably going to save like 8. I don't know if you want to get there. You know, do you want to get to that number? You know, that's a hard one. You know, another option that you can do as well is you can do a longer term deal. You can do something similar to what they did with Travis Kelce in Kansas City. It depends on how kind of shrewd you want to be with these. You know, do they want to go the route of basically getting a $35 to $40 million on paper extension that really works out as a contract that's going to average something like 25 in the first new year, 28 in the second new year. And then after that, you know, he's 41, 42. You can bring it up to whatever you want. Who cares? That, I guess, is another path that they could go if they want to do some type of extension that's there. Your other thing that you can consider is, do you want to cut him outright? And cutting him outright, you know, that saves you the $19 million on the cap. That saves you the $4 million P5 and the $15 million roster bonus on there. So you save 19. You'd still carry 22.25 in dead money, but it's sunk, you know, that's a lost cause. You know, what kind of season would Roethlisberger have to where you would actually do that? I would think that's the slimmest of possibilities. You know, I think that if you go there, you're probably looking at him being injured again and playing less than 10 games, I think would be the point where you would have to go to this and say, you know what, we've got to just do something completely different here. In which case you can probably justify cutting. He may even think of retirement, I think, at that point, if he has to go through another long rehabilitation process for anything. And the other thing, I mean, you could possibly do is look on a pay cut if that happened. There's no other scenario where you could say, oh, he's not going to get $19 million. There's no scenario where you can say pay cut, unless that would be the scenario. And then you can do some manipulations with the numbers, you know, maybe to make it work, to give him another chance to play if that's what he wants to do. But that is the first domino that has to fall, and they have to make a decision next year. I don't think that this is a decision that can wait until 2022. I don't think they can ride with him at 41.25 next year. I mean, there's a slim chance that it'll happen, but I can't see them doing that. I think that is one of the things they have to do. And the problem that you have when you look at the team and you look at all these players, if you're looking to restructure contracts, you know, that's typically what the Steelers do. What the Steelers do, the Steelers are as old school as could be as the NFL franchise. And what the Steelers do more than any team in the NFL is they take salary that they have in their existing contracts, they bring the player down to the minimum salary level, and they turn it into a signing bonus. And they prorate it over the rest of the deal. That is all well and good when a player has 4, maybe even 3 years left on a deal. Well, what happens with these other players? So just pulling them up. So you've got Tuitt here. He has a salary cap charge of $14.94 million. If you look historically, what do they do? 2017, $1 million P5. 2018, $790,000 P5. 2019, $805,000 P5. This is the first year they haven't really tinkered with that deal. They always are converting, always doing that. The problem is, when is he going to be a free agent? Well, 2023. So there's no years left to prorate into. So, you know, they've done with him $11 million signing bonus. They ended up, I think, going back in and redoing it a second time that year. So eventually, he basically ended up with a $13 million signing bonus, followed by a $10.21 million signing bonus, followed by a $5.195 million signing bonus. And you're probably going to have to do that again, but you can only prorate it over 2 years. You know, unless, again, you're going to do the adding of the void year thing. So let's say they bring his salary down to $1 million. And, you know, you split that up, that $8 million, so that's $4 million in there. And then another 5.94. You know, I should just pull up our calculator here. But basically you can bring his cap charge down to $10.94 million. So you're going through all this to create $4 million in cap space. And you can do it. I'm not saying that they won't do it. It probably makes sense to do. But that's all you're gonna gain on that. DeCastro, salary cap charge in 2021, $10.45 million, $10.4475. He has an 8.75 base. He's got no years remaining after 2021. How do you bring that number down? Are you going to extend him next year? That's going to be pretty expensive. He's a good player, right? He's still a good enough player. You know, he's not going to play for nothing. You know, we had his valuation last year around $8 million. I always say, when you look at a veteran's valuation on the kind of stuff we do, it's understating what they're worth on the free agent market. For anyone's not familiar, we do a little valuation tool where we kind of reassign all the salaries in the league. We have this in our premium section. I'll do weekly updates in the main website. But we keep the running tallies for the year, as well as a week by week that you can go and look at for each player in the premium section on OTC. But, you know, we have DeCastro around 8, which probably means when you're looking at an extension, you're looking at something like 11. You're looking at something like 12. He's going to be 32 years old. I'm not saying that that's too old for a guard. You can do guards, you know, at that age. But again, you're talking about really digging in on a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in 2 years and has been a bit, I guess, of a disappointment in some of the runs that they've had here. Yeah, that's one of the things you can say about the Steelers, I think, is that they sometimes have some disappointing showings in certain games. They just kind of sleepwalk through games every now and then. But, you know, do you want to double down on that? You know, that's a possibility. Joe Haden. So you're looking at someone next year. He's got a $15.6 million cap number. You can save $7 million if you cut him. That's probably the most likely path. You're not going to extend a 32-year-old corner, I don't think. Pouncey, he'll be 32 years old, also entering the final year of his contract in 2021. He has a $14.5 million cap charge. You can save yourself $8 million if you cut him. But if you cut him and you cut a lot of these players, you really are entering that rebuilding phase. Steven Nelson, last year his deal. You can save $8.25 million if you cut. You know, he's got a $14.4 million cap charge. That's basically screaming, cut me. He had a good year, though, last year. I think you'd have to be happy with how he played. You know, he's only going to be 28 years old. So I would think that's someone that you may have to look at re-upping. Vince Williams, you know, steady linebacker for the team. Last year, the deal in 2021, and he's also 32 years old. You know, so you run into this situation where you just have to look, are you going to slice and dice your roster, or are you going to double down on a bunch of guys who are in their 30s? So let's just look at a couple of different things just to bring the numbers down. So let's just say with Roethlisberger, we definitely save 14. You know, we know we're going to do something there. So we're going to save 14. And we'll say we're starting at negative 23. All right. So if we save 14 on Ben, that brings us to $9 million over the cap. Now let's see what we need to do next. So let's bring up their calculator here. There's a Steelers calculator. Here we go. All right. So we're going to restructure to it. We're going to save our four. So now we're $5 million over. We are going to cut Joe Hayden. That saves us seven. So now we're $2 million under. We are going to, well, we'll extend Nelson, and you can save 5.8 on an extension that doesn't pay him any extra money. You're going to have to pay him a little something. So let's say that we save $4 million there. So now we're at six positive. Let's extend DeCastro. You can gain up to six. You're not going to gain that much. Let's call it a gain of five. So we're giving very friendly deals to the Steelers with some of these extensions that I'm talking about here. I don't know if that's really going to fly because the Steelers' structures are also very different. I'll talk about that in just a minute. We're going to extend TJ Watt. How low can we really get his number, though? I don't think you can get it any lower than it's already at. I mean, I guess there's some ways to do it. It depends on what they look to do. What I would look to do, I would say it's not going to happen. Vince Williams. All right, so let's... what else do we want to do here? Pouncey, do you want to keep him? Do you want to cut him? I'll say they'll cut him. We'll save eight. That puts us 19 under. All right. So we're getting some space, right? We're getting some cap room. Really not much else that saves you much. I mean, you can save a couple million bucks here and there, with some guys. Let's cut Ebron. Let's cut both tight ends. Let's cut, Ebron, and we'll cut Vance McDonald. We'll save both those guys. That's 11.2 in savings between the two of them. Okay, so now we're up to $30 million under the cap, which sounds wonderful. And maybe it'll be more than that. Maybe you can add another 15 onto that, depending on where the salary cap is going to go, and bring it to 45. What we've done is we've locked into some age on our roster for a little bit longer. Now, we need to turn to our own free agents. Well, who are the Pittsburgh Steelers free agents this upcoming year? Both of their tackles. Bud Dupree, Cam Hayward, Mike Hilton, Juju Smith-Schuster, Connor, I don't think that's a big deal, but you know, Connor's a free agent. You have a couple other guys that, you know, play a little bit, but I don't think you would you know, make a big deal out of you know, some of them. But they have a lot of free agents, and a lot of these players are potentially going to command big money in free agency, not to mention the fact that you've got TJ Watt, who's going to want an extension. So when you look at this list, you know, what are you going to do? Both of their tackles are capable players. You know, you can argue how good or how not good they are. I mean, Villanueva's basically been one of the biggest bargains in the NFL at left tackle for years. So let's even assume he continues to be a bargain. That still probably means $11 or $12 million a year. You know, that's probably a similar price you're going to be paying on the right tackle side as well. I think Dupree, if he has a good year, there's no way you can go down that path again with him. You know, Hayward, you know, he's looking for an extension, and I don't blame him. He has had such a terrific run at the kind of this midpoint of his career. He went from being a really good player to a great football player in the second act of his career, and usually it doesn't happen that way. While pass rushers don't necessarily make out that well when they pass 30, I think a lot of defensive tackles, your interior defensive line kind of positions, do. I think that he deserves a contract that's worth probably around $15 million a year. Are they going to go there? I have no idea. Hilton's just a, you know, that's a low cost guy, but it's a corner who plays a little bit. You know, that's probably $5 million or so. Juju is a wild card. His numbers can go absolutely anywhere. I would imagine as low as 9. If you're talking about extending him, though, you could be as high as 16 or 17. A lot's going to depend on how he plays this year. So even though we've created all this cap room, well, we still have our starting right tackle, our starting left tackle, our starting edge rusher, our starting defensive end, cornerback, and our starting wide receiver, all free. It will cost you a ton of money to try to keep the team together. That's why you almost say, you know, hey, maybe this is also the last dance for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that you can have a situation where you may look at this, especially if things go bad with Roethlisberger, where you say, all right, it is time to tear this down because we are going to gut this roster over the next year or two. And we're going to get ourselves a young quarterback. We're going to have this amazing pass rusher who's going to be the focal point for us for the next couple of years while we develop a quarterback. And it's two very divergent paths that they can go on. There's not really much of an in-between. You know, it's basically doubling down on a bunch of 30-year-olds and a really old quarterback, or just embracing a complete youth movement and blowing up a team that probably won't be terrible, you know, under any circumstance. But the question is, how good do you have to be to say, these are the guys that we want to run with again? And I think that's a pretty interesting question. And I think that's going to be a pretty hard one for them to answer. Now, when you get to TJ Watt, that is going to be a real interesting contract negotiation. So you've got these lines that have basically been set where we've got Joey Bosa at 27, you had Garrett at 25. And I think when you get into TJ Watt, you start to run into certain kinds of issues that exist because of the way the Pittsburgh Steelers do contracts. Now, it's not a problem in the sense that this is a real problem. All right. It's a perception problem. But agents, media, whatever it is, you kind of follow sometimes these perceptions. And I think we do a good job, here, I think it cutting through a lot of that. And one of my biggest pet peeves is the way that people go after the Steelers for the fact that the Steelers don't really guarantee salaries in their contract. They don't. The Steelers, where I said they're old school, the Steelers only guarantee the signing bonus in a contract. Usually they won't even do injury guarantees. The only player I think they did injury guarantees for was Ben in this last contract. And they're not even the kind that vest into full guarantees. So Pittsburgh's whole contract structure is basically based on a signing bonus. And because agents have done a poor job in the post-rookie, post-non-rookie wage scale era, you know, starting in 2011, of keeping signing bonuses up with the pace of contract growth, they've kind of put their players at a disadvantage because what's happened is that instead of looking at contract structure as a way to try to protect your clients and to maximize cash flows, they've looked more at a guarantee number, which sometimes doesn't guarantee as many years on a contract as a massive signing bonus can do. With the Steelers, you have to take a couple of things into account. Number one, if the signing bonus is the only guarantee in a contract, well, all right. So let's just say, for instance, they give a player a $20 million signing bonus. Say, well, my God, they only guaranteed him $20 million. Well, he's got a $5 million P5 this year. Well, it's not guaranteed. Do you think you're going to pay somebody a $20 million signing bonus and cut him that year for $5 million? Come on. So that's an extra five. The following year, they'll use usually a roster bonus in the contract. It's a non-guaranteed roster bonus due the third day of the league year. There's no vesting. Do you really think that a player is... What are the odds that a player that you just gave a $20 million signing bonus to is going to mangle themselves so badly that year that the Steelers will turn around and cut him because of that roster bonus that's due? And who cares that it doesn't vest into a full guarantee? It doesn't make a difference. If it's paid on the third day of the league year, who cares if it's skill and injury guaranteed on the first day of the league year? What difference does it make? You have to look at some of these things just from the reality standpoint of it. And it doesn't happen that way. You know, I get it. You know, a lot of people don't know the contract stuff. And then there's other people who kind of, you're looking for clicks, right? You're looking for things to write about, like what we saw with Le'Veon Bell with just some absolutely awful analysis that was there of those contract offers that he was given from Pittsburgh. Horrendous analysis. But it's designed, from people who know better, it's designed to get clicks. From people who don't know better, well, they don't know better. And maybe they shouldn't be talking about some of the things. So with the Steelers, you run into a lot of these things. The other thing with the Steelers, when the Steelers sign you to a deal, unlike other teams, you know, when most teams in the NFL sign you to a deal, depends on the length of the deal, but I would say you can expect to earn anywhere from 40 to 60% of that contract. That's in the mind of the team the minute that they sign on the dotted line. That's the expected length of that contract, somewhere in that range. When you sign with the Steelers, you're probably expected to earn 75 to 80% of the deal, if not longer. Most of the time, if they sign you, they're signing you because they want to keep you. And like the Packers, like the Bengals, they're teams that don't go into free agency a whole bunch. You know, that they do bring in some players in free agency. And if they do gut the team, I would anticipate that, you know, 2 years from now, they would probably do that. But, you know, they honor the deals. So just because somebody doesn't get all those massive eye-popping headline numbers doesn't mean they're bad contracts. Now, you can argue that the Steelers need to, you know, keep up with the rest of the league and change what they're doing. That's a whole different discussion. But as it applies to someone like a TJ Watt, when you want to get that eye-poppingness and you don't feel like getting killed by Florio or someone on ESPN or wherever it might be, what's going to happen is, let's say that you don't hit the super, super high mark on a couple of metrics. What's going to happen is you're going to get a number that comes out, and it just, here's just an opinion on it. My guess is the Steelers are going to look at this and say, we went to Garrett to go from 23 million to 25, and we went from Garrett to Bosa 25 to 27. our best offer that we can give and be comfortable with is 29. And we also don't believe in giving a $30 million a year player. It took years for a defensive player to hit 20. We can't just jump into 30 just right off the bat like this. The problem then becomes if you're TJ Watt and you sign that deal and that, hey, 28, 29, 27, 5, hey, I think that that's pretty eye-popping. I think that that's amazing. What's going to happen is those numbers are going to come out, people's eyes are going to bulge out of their head, and then you're going to notice there's no mention of guarantees. And very quickly, people are going to look at Joey Bosa and say, hey, Joey Bosa's got $102 million guaranteed in his contract. He's got $78 million at signing. And then we're going to look at Myles Garrett, and we're going to say, hey, Myles Garrett's got $100 million guaranteed in his contract, and he's got $50 million guaranteed at signing. And you're going to hear nothing from about that for TJ Watt. And then people are going to become incredibly negative on the contract. Even if the deal is going to break down better than those two deals, you're going to have a lot of negativity. It depends sometimes on the relationships that exist between agent and whomever's discussing it, but you're going to hear a lot of negativity that's going to come out about that deal. So for TJ Watt to counteract that, I think he needs to basically go for $30 million a year, because if you hit 30, it'll take away that little bit of a sting that's going to come from people that maybe focus on the guarantee. But more likely, if you hit 30, the guarantee talk kind of goes out. People aren't going to talk about that because they're going to talk more about the 30. It's probably going to happen that way. Number two, the other thing that you have to look for is a massive signing bonus. This is why I said I don't think they can bring his cap number down. You know, his cap number is at 10. In my mind, you need to get a $50 million signing bonus. You need something that's ridiculously historic for the position, for a defensive player. You need something that way. And you need to go back and you need to look at the way the Steelers do some of these things. But I would love to go back to some of these older school deals and the concepts behind them. And I just want to maximize that. And then, you know, someone will pick up on the fact that, okay, well, you know what? Yes. Salary is not guaranteed next year, but they just gave him a $50 million signing bonus and it cost $40 million on the cap to cut him. And then in the next year, it would cost $30 million on the cap to cut him. And you realize the first two new years of that deal are functionally guaranteed. Doesn't matter that it's not on paper. And those high bonuses make some of the other parts of that deal probably guaranteed as well. But I think that's a tricky negotiation because of those things. And I don't know if the Steelers want to get to 30. I think that you don't want to set that precedent at $30 million a year. You want to be under that. I think it's a tricky extension because of that. Now if they don't care at all about the narratives that are going to be out there, then that's okay. But we've seen it time and time and time again. These narratives sometimes really get in the way of some stuff with Pittsburgh. And I'm almost 100% certain that I will always say, if some of that talk that is really misinformed on the guarantee aspect of a lot of these deals was not out there, Le'Veon Bell would be a Pittsburgh Steeler today. I strongly believe that. I think he was turned off by the way people talk about things that isn't necessarily the right way to look at it. And that can absolutely happen. But that's really the Steelers in a nutshell. You know, I think it's really this year a bust for them. You know, I think no matter how these other players do, what decisions are there? It's not like it's a pick and choose kind of thing. You know, these are all kind of older players. It's like you're not bringing back a 34-year-old tackle or 33-year-old tackle and a 33-year-old defensive end and cutting Roethlisberger. You know, it's almost as if this is all going to come as a package, meaning you're just going to get pretty old like the Patriots kind of defense. And you're just going to have a couple old guys on the team and you're going to have to try to build around that. So I just think this is an incredibly important year for Pittsburgh. And I think next year, if they do some bad stuff, they probably really could screw themselves over. But I'm not going to go crazy on the void years if they decide to go that route. The only reason is just because buying on credit, if next year is an absolute disaster with the salary cap, I think is a fair way to do business. You know, basically what you're doing is saying, we'll give it one more run with this team. You know, we'll figure out a way to bring a couple of these guys back. We'll give it one more run. And then in 2022, we will kind of turn the page at that point in time. You know, we'll make that move away from Roethlisberger and, you know, some of these other players. You know, we'll do, you know, if we're going to extend, you know, Villanueva or something, you do a 2-year extension. You know, you're not doing anything long term. You're doing everything short term. But it's an interesting team. You know, they get themselves in and out of salary cap trouble all the time because of the restructures. I would anticipate that that's going to remain the same. They would need a real shift in front office to do that. And the front office will be there forever. Pittsburgh is just so loyal to everybody that no matter what happens, they're pretty much going to run with these guys forever. So let's take a look at your questions here. Just a couple we got because I didn't really put this. So I did get a couple questions, it looks like, that are not Steelers related. So if you asked a question that's not Steelers related, don't worry. I'll get to it when we do the next one. So there's some things about the Jets here, you know, and some other stuff. So let's take a look here. So Dennis says, what would be a fair contract extension for TJ Watt? How does it impact the Steelers cap outlook? Again, you know, I think your fair number, if you don't get caught up in the bells and whistles and everything else, I think the fair number is $28.5 to $29 million a year. If we're talking an apples to apples kind of deal, you know, 5-year deal, 5-year extension, I would look to lock him up for 5 years. If I'm the Steelers, I would look to not hit that $30 million number, but at the same point in time, I don't think that I want to make this turn into an ugly situation. You know, if that's the case, you know, if he's steadfast on 30, you know, a possibility as well is you can use the fact that, you know, you're not going to get a cap break on him next year anyway. And maybe you can use the fact to just say, hey, look, we were hit so bad by this and we have so many pressing contract concerns. We cannot open negotiations right now. There will be more money for you next year. We'll get to that $30 million. We'll find a way to get there. And we just need to table this till next year. Maybe there's a little bit that they could do that. I don't think that helps them out overall, but you could at least get a better look at your team and see where it's headed, you know, before you do that. If you're going to extend Roethlisberger, I do think that it would be easier to extend him before you do TJ Watt. And I mean, maybe that's a possibility anyway. Maybe you would do whatever you got to do with Roethlisberger by February, and you're not going to touch TJ Watt until May, June, whatever that is, you know, unless they happen to do something earlier than that. Maybe, you know, just maybe by doing that, that puts you in a position to where you can avoid any kind of entanglement with the Roethlisberger deal, where you kind of get into number games there. Let's see. Neo but Negro says, what do the numbers look like on the Watt deal coming next summer? And can you contextualize the deal for a corner of Steven Nelson's magnitude based on pay last year versus the contract he got? Seems like he got another steal. So obviously we've gone over the Watt deal a lot here. So I think those numbers we have there, you know, Nelson, I think is going to do well for himself. So Nelson in our valuation last year, we had Nelson at around $11 million. So again, just to give you an idea, you know, I would say on a market for, you know, just typical market, you know, you'd add a couple million onto that. Now, I don't know if he'll actually get there. But yeah, that turned into a great signing for Pittsburgh. You know, that was a terrific signing. I didn't think it was going to be that good of a signing. And, you know, it turned into just an absolute steal based on the way he played last year. You know, among corners, we ranked him. Let me see where we put him overall. Where is he? I see Hayden in there. Probably right around number 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, number 10. So, you know, obviously a notch down below your Richard Shermans of the world and players like that. But we had him as a pretty high performer based on what happened last year. So, you know, if you want to look, you know, finding comparables isn't always the easiest. You know, Casey Hayward signed an extension 11.5 back in 2018. Butler signed as a free agent in 2018 for 12.3. Hayden re-upped with the Steelers at 11. Roby went to the Texans at 10. You know, he's probably in that range, 11, 12 million, something like that, I think is where that would be. So I don't think it'll be cheap. I don't think you can get another bargain deal. And they may be able to turn and say, hey, look, we did 11 for Hayden. That's the highest that we can go. You know, and maybe try to do something like that. But yeah, he was a terrific bargain for them last year. And so if he is able to duplicate it, you know, never easy to duplicate those kind of seasons. But, you know, if he's capable of doing that, you know, they got themselves a pretty nice contract. That'll be there for the 2 years. Let's see. Next question we got here. Matt McDonald asks, with the team we have now and the amount of free agents we have coming up, in your opinion, who is getting paid? The only person I'm 100% certain of getting paid is TJ Watt. I think everyone else, look, if I had to pick and choose as to who they're going to keep of their free agents, I think Hayward would be the keeper. I don't know which of their tackles, one of the tackles. I don't know which one. I don't think they'll keep both. But I think those are the players that maybe have a better chance of sticking. You know, if all just kind of goes as a so-so kind of year. You know, Hayward's going to be a tough one too, because I think he can get more money as a free agent. But those are the guys that I would probably look at as saying, well, you know what, they're the ones who are definitely going to get paid. The other ones, I think, is more up in the air if they'll keep them. E asks, will the Steelers be able to pay Juju? I see him as a kind of an odd man out. Last year was just incredibly disappointing, you know, if you're that. So, you know, his second-round draft pick, you know, was basically a Pro Bowl player in 2018. I think he made the Pro Bowl. Let me pull up his stats here. Yeah, so rookie year, he's almost 1,000, 1,400 yards in 2018. And then the question was, is he a byproduct of a system specifically playing with Brown, or is he ready to make the leap up to the next level? Granted, you didn't have the quarterback play, but to drop down to 500 yards, he was banged up most of the year. He only played in 12 games. You know, 550-yard season, 3 touchdowns, complete non-factor in any game. We know the way the Steelers have moved on from wide receivers. Nobody drafts wide receivers better than Pittsburgh, and nobody is shrewder with what they do with their wide receivers than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's work with wide receivers is like New England's work with their roster. They are able to dump guys and replace them, get better deals. They are just brilliant at what they do with wide receivers. I think because of those couple of years he's had no matter what happens this year, he would still fall in that category of someone like a Funchess or maybe Moncrief got a big deal a couple of years ago. Not a big deal, but you know, someone that's going to get at least a 1 year, $10 million look from somebody, you know, unless just a complete fall apart. I don't think if he has a year that's, you know, 800-900 yards playing with Roethlisberger, I don't think that you can pay him $12 million a year. I'd be hesitant to even pay him 10. I would look to see if I can get anything out of the other guys on my roster. And I would look to probably move on. So I think it would be more likely that this is his last year playing with Pittsburgh, unless he has just an absolute crazy year. You know, I think you look for Johnson and Washington and those guys to, excuse me, you know, kind of step up, I think, and, you know, maybe do a little bit more, you know, with Roethlisberger in there. Let's see what else we got here. Felicia asks, who do you think out of the impending free agents the Steelers keep? So we've gone over that. You know, just to add to that, I think the free agents that I'd be most shocked if they came back would be Dupree and Smith-Schuster. I think those would be the two that I'd be shocked if they... Surprised. I'd be shocked if Dupree came back. I'd be surprised if Juju came back. Let's see. I think we got a couple more questions here. Column asks, is Juju Smith-Schuster looking at a 18 to 20 AAV for a new contract, and can the Steelers afford to pay him? There's no way the Steelers are paying 18 to 20 for Juju. No way. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine anybody paying him 18 to 20. He would have to play at, to get that kind of deal, and to get rid of the stink of the Mason Rudolph year, I think he'd have to go out there and he'd have to have another 1500 yard season and just absolutely kill it and dominate. I can't imagine him getting to 18, even in that circumstance. I don't think he'd get to 18. I think he'd still be in the, $16-17 million range there. Flip asks, I'm not sure if you'll talk about this. If you extend Big Ben, what would the extension look like? So we talked about this a little bit, and he says here, same thing that I did. Hard seeing him take his first team-friendly contract of his career. I mean, it's a real difficult situation. I think it's a tough one to broach. You know, you're basically saying we've looked at you at every step of the way, you know, just a notch below the highest paid player in the NFL. Now we might be asking you to no longer be the highest paid player on your own team. That's a really hard one to do. You know, can you convince someone to take a ridiculous kind of contract? You know, maybe. You know, here's the other thing. Let's say Ben is healthy this entire year. All right, let's say Ben plays 16 games. And yes, there is absolutely something to finishing out your career with a football team. But let's say he plays 16 games, and he knows that if he doesn't touch his contract, he knows that the price to franchise tag him in 2022 is $50 million. Let's say he plays 16 games and the Steelers are 6-10. He's looking at this. He's looking at a disaster of a cap situation. And he's looking at them saying, well, you know, we're going to let all these guys walk in free agency. You know, we're going to come back next year. You're going to have new bookends. You're probably going to have a new center. We're going to get rid of one of the edge rushers. We're going to get rid of our best defensive lineman. You know, we're going to get rid of your wide receiver. We'll get you a new running back. What are you going to do at that point? You know, you may ask for a trade, or you may just look at this and say, I'm going to play this out and let the cards fall where they may. You know, I'm going to be like 40 years old, 39, 40. Maybe I want another shot, just like Rivers, just like Brady. Maybe I want an opportunity to go to free agency. Maybe like Breeze, I'll change my mind 2 years from now and come back for cheaper. But I'm not going to lock myself in cheaper right now. I think that's a possibility as well. What they can't let happen, and there's no indication that it would happen this way, they can't let something devolve into rumors and crazy talk the way that Antonio Brown kind of controlled the narrative. And there's no reason it should turn into anything like that. But I think you do have to be on the same page with him. And pretty much I think you need to, once this year everything calms down from it, assuming a full year is played, I think you have to have an honest discussion with him next February as to what he envisions for his future, what you envision for your future with him, and how this can work going forward. And if it can't work, what's the best exit strategy for all parties involved to do it the way that, in a sense, the way that Peyton Manning left Indianapolis, where at least if you're going to cut him, you're cutting him with a press conference, you're crying during the press conference, you're letting everybody talk to him, and you're kind of letting everybody go out in a sense with a smile on their face versus Brett Favre just being aggravated and, you know, figuring out a way to make a circus and to get in a trade. Last question here. Me asked this. Deontay Johnson get 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Does he replace Juju next year? So, yeah, I think that's a guy that you look at as a potential replacement that would be there for him. Can he get to 1,000 yards this year? I mean, I guess it's possible. You know, if Roethlisberger is back and plays well, you know, and I think Roethlisberger, this is the whole, no one can tell you how he's going to play. But if he comes in and he plays well, I don't think there's any reason why, you know, he can't be kind of that underneath guy while Washington is stretching the field. You know, and some of it depends though on trust, you know, how much he trusts Smith-Schuster, because one of the other things is that you do have to take targets away from somebody. And Roethlisberger is going to be most comfortable with Juju because he's, you know, played with him. You know, he really hasn't played with the other guys that much. I think he played, Washington is in his third year, I think. So he's played 1 year with him. And he really didn't play at all with Johnson. You know, so he's going to be more familiar with Juju. But, you know, I think those are the guys that have potential to do that. And I think if Juju kind of falls out of favor, I would say that Johnson, if Roethlisberger has a good season, could very well flirt with 1,000 yards. You know, he had 5 touchdowns last year, so I can't see why he couldn't get 6. You know, I think he should do okay in that regard. And I always trust the Steelers with receivers. You know, you don't trust the Jets with second round picks. You always trust the Steelers with a receiver. You know, there's certain things with the Steelers, you know, trust them with receivers. Don't trust them week one. In a season, they're probably going to lay an egg the first week of the year. They'll probably lay an egg if they have to play a wild card game. There's a couple constants with that team, but the wide receiver one, they are always good in that regard. All right, so I think that closes up here on Pittsburgh. So I'll be back tomorrow or you know, the following day, and we'll just do something with the minimal stories that are out there this week. So if you have any questions, you can email me, jason@overthecap.com, or just tweet to me, just send me a message on Twitter and, at @jason_OTC, and I'll be able to get your question into the next podcast, since mainly we'll probably be doing a little bit of a Q&A on that one. So thanks for listening, and I will talk to you all again soon.